Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. My name is Scott Reich, and this is Crime Talk, the most fact-driven, unbiased, true crime channel. All right, we have a huge docket for you today, so hold on, let's go. First on the docket, there was a status hearing for Lori Vallow and Chad Daybell this afternoon. Second, emergency orders for Alex Murdoch, and not the good kind from the South Carolina Supreme Court. Third, we've got the mugshot of the prosecutor that's been charged in the Ahmaud Arbery case. Another ex-husband charged with murder. Misinformation going around regarding the Josh Duggar, rhymes with hugger, case. Another example of sometimes you just need to let it go. And punishment to a deserving printer toner schemer. I'll tell you about that. And then finally, our dumb criminal contestant of the day. Let's talk about it. Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. This is Crime Talk, and my name is Scott Reich. Thanks for watching. Before we get to the docket, a couple of things we need to cover. First, if you haven't done so already, please hit that subscribe button as well as hitting that little bell so that you receive notifications of when we go live or put up new content. Also, the other thing is we need to support the sponsors for Crime Talk. And today our sponsors are CrimeTalkPrep.com. All right, listen, we all need to be prepared. You never know when an emergency is going to strike, and you need to be able to make sure that you can take care of your family. It's the responsible thing to do. Look at what happened just recently down there in New Orleans as that hurricane storm Ida made its way through the Midland of the United States over there to New York and New Jersey. They were flooding. Listen, you need to be able to take care of yourself because you never know when an emergency is going to strike. So go to crimetalkprep.com and you can get your 4 weeks of emergency food supply, $50 off and free shipping. Go to crimetalkprep.com. You'll be happy you did. First on the docket today, there was a status conference for the Lori Vallow and Chad Daybell matters today in court. Yep, the two famous words and the most common used words in the Chad Daybell matter are motion for continuance, and then the most often used words by the court were granted. Okay, first, let's talk about what happened. The court called the case up. They called up both the Chad Daybell and the Lori Vallow matter. They have separate case numbers, and they held a joint hearing. Lori Vallow, still not present. She's still at the state hospital. And we'll talk about what happened there in just a second. So the first thing the court did was to go over what took place on August 30th, that they needed a progress report from the state hospital, and the court continued the confinement or the commitment of Lori Vallow to the state hospital. The court has since received a progress report dated September 1st of this year, and well, the state hospital still believes that she has not been restored to competency, and therefore the case cannot proceed. The court stayed the Lori Vallow matter for another 6 months. However, if there is a progress report and the state hospital believes that Lori Vallow has been restored to competency, that she will then be brought in for a status conference and the case can resume. We will see whether the state hospital truly believes that she's been restored to competency. Then the matter proceeded to take up the issues related to Chad Daybell. Chad Daybell was present in his customary white shirt and tie, along with his attorney, John Pryor. The court brought up the fact that there is a trial date currently set for November 8th of this year, and that there is a motions hearing now set for a change of venue, which is now scheduled for October 6th of this year. The court also noted that a waiver of speedy trial was executed by Chad Daybell, dated August 20th of this year. And based upon that, the court took it upon itself to basically say, it seems highly unlikely that we're going to start a trial on November 8th. The prosecutors didn't object to the court's own motion to continue the trial, and neither did Chad Daybell through his counsel. So as of right now, there is no trial date set for Chad Daybell. There's just the motions hearing, which is scheduled for October 6th. That's when the change of venue motion will be heard. There's also been a motion for severance filed by Chad Daybell. This is not surprising to me. I've said this, if you go back and look at videos that we did over a year ago, it was no doubt in my mind that Chad Daybell wants to be completely separate from Lori Vallow in this particular case and have separate trials. Why? Because they're going to be throwing Lori Vallow under the bus. Not a problem right now because she is at the state hospital. But if for some reason she is restored to competency, the district attorneys would then move to join the cases together. Although they're in the same indictment, they're separate cases for court administrative issues. That's why they each have their own case number. Not a big surprise. Mr. Pryor wants his client to go to trial without Lori Vallow. Makes sense. The court is not going to rule on any of those issues until obviously the change of venue hearing, which is set for October 5th and 6th. At that time, they're going to then set a trial date as well as set a deadline for what they refer to as 12B6 motions, where Mr. Pryor wants to file a motion to dismiss, more than likely that there's no probable cause or that there's some defect in the indictment. However, the grand jury transcripts have not been prepared as to date, but apparently they are close to being done. That deadline for that motion will be set on the October 5th and 6th date when they set a new trial date. So basically the word of the day for the hearing was continuance granted. That's all we really have seen to be able to accomplish in this particular case, and the matter was stayed as to Lori Vallow. So, as always, we will bring you the latest news as it relates to the Lori Vallow and Chad Daybell matter. Now, on somewhat of a little twist, there's a guy by the name of Colby Ryan. Now, he's the son of Lori Vallow and her prior husband, Joseph Ryan, who passed away in 2018. Now, Colby has set up his little YouTube channel called The Ryan Family. And the other day, he put up a video describing an experience of being on the ABC show Modern Family, where guess who? That's right, both he and his mother, Lori Vallow, were extras. Colby's sister, Tylee Ryan, was also present. Now, Colby also stated that he has a cousin who works as a sound guy for the show and basically invited them to be extras. In the 10-minute YouTube video, Colby describes the day and adds that the directors would yell cut and say the big guy is in the way, referring to him. Lori can be seen next to Colby, and her signature long blonde curls were there. Now, Tylee is hidden because she was so young at the time. So Colby has about 6,000 subscribers to his YouTube channel, and it's all about the Ryan family. And he's trying to let everybody know that their main goal is to show how God is getting everyone through this hard and difficult time. We'll just leave that there. We're not endorsing, supporting, or saying anything about going to check out a site, just simply saying, once again, here's Lori Vallow trying to get her 15 minutes of fame. All right, next on the docket, some orders came out, some emergency orders came out from the South Carolina Supreme Court as it relates to Richard Alexander Alex Murdoch. And these are not the good kind. That's right, because the South Carolina Supreme Court suspended old Alex Murdoch from practicing law in South Carolina. Now, we brought you a story the other day that Murdoch resigned from his family's law practice after it was alleged that he allegedly misappropriated millions of dollars in funds from the law firm. Now, the law firm confirmed Murdoch's resignation on Monday, saying this is disappointing news for all of us. Rest assured that our firm will deal with this in a straightforward manner. There's no place in our firm for such behavior. And due to the ongoing investigation into these matters and client confidentiality, the firm cannot comment further at this time. And they encourage any client with questions to contact their offices regarding their file. Now, Alex Murdoch was shot in the head the other day after resigning while allegedly changing a tire on his 2021 Mercedes SUV on a rural road. Who knows? Maybe it was one of his law partners that was so upset when they found out millions of dollars had been liberated from their accounts, allegedly by Mr. Murdoch. Now, the South Carolina Supreme Court came to the decision to suspend Murdoch's license after the high-profile resignation from his law firm about the misappropriation of funds. I'm assuming Mr. Murdoch will say that they were liberated. Mr. Murdoch also made a statement through his attorneys saying that he's been under a lot of stress and that he was entering rehabilitation as it related to an opioid addiction problem. Now, we certainly wish him the best as it relates to that. Wouldn't wish that upon anybody. But the reality of it is you can't steal from your law partners. You just can't do it. You can't steal from anybody. That's just bad and it's wrong. And so kudos to the South Carolina Supreme Court. And unfortunately, I think we are seeing a man, Alex Murdoch, his entire persona, life, career, family completely unraveling right before our very eyes. Sometimes that's what happens when you don't treat people very nicely. They come after you. All right, next on the docket, the prosecutor. That's right, the mugshot of the prosecutor in the Ahmaud Arbery case. The former prosecutor is charged with misconduct for her handling of the Ahmaud Arbery case. Well, she was booked into a Georgia jail the other night, and take a look at that mugshot. I somehow think that she does not think this is really happening. Well, welcome to reality. So the Brunswick Judicial Circuit District Attorney Jackie Johnson turned herself in Wednesday morning at the Glynn County Jail. Records show she was released on her own recognizance, which simply means she doesn't have to pay a cash bond to get out. It's simply her promise to appear. Now, a grand jury indicted Johnson, who's 49 last week, on a felony charge of violating her oath of office and a misdemeanor count of obstructing police. Johnson was the area's top prosecutor when three white men allegedly chased and fatally shot Arbery last year. The indictment alleges that she used her position to shield the 25-year-old black man's killer from prosecution. Officials at the jail and the Glynn County Superior Court clerk said their records did not list an attorney for her. Greg McMichaels and his grown son, Travis McMichael, allegedly armed themselves and pursued Arbery in a pickup truck on February 23rd of 2020. A neighbor, William Roddy Bryan, joined the chase and took cell phone video of Travis McMichael shooting Ahmaud Arbery at close range with a shotgun. Now, Greg McMichaels told police they suspected Arbery was a burglar and Travis McMichael shot him in self-defense. The McMichaels and Bryan weren't charged in the killing until more than 2 months later after the video was leaked online and the Georgia Bureau of Investigation took over the investigation, which led to the charges. Now all three men are scheduled for trial this fall on first-degree murder charges. Greg McMichaels worked for Johnson as an investigator at the district attorney's office before he retired in 2019. You have to remember, phone records introduced in court show he called Johnson and left her a voicemail soon after the shooting. Johnson had previously denied any wrongdoing, saying that she recused herself from the case immediately because of her relationship with Greg McMichaels. Turned out that wasn't exactly true. I wonder if the state bar in Georgia is going to be issuing emergency orders as well. We'll have to wait and see. All right, next on the docket, Josh Duggar rhymes with hugger. That's right. So this is kind of a confusing story, and we want to make sure we get this right, okay? So there's been some court documents filed in Arkansas alleging that the former reality star, if you want to call him that, Josh Duggar, was placed on a sex offender registry following an accusation that he molested his sister years before his arrest this last spring on the charges of inappropriate content involving minors, which is currently pending in federal court. Duggar was never charged in 2006, but there was a 33-page police report in 2015. That report states that his father, Jim Bob Duggar, told authorities the allegations were true. Now, after the release of the report, Duggar allegedly confessed to inappropriately touching his younger sisters when he was a teenager, and then he entered rehab. He was also accused of creating a private paid Ashley Madison account, you know, where you basically try to have an affair with someone other than your significant other. Duggar's sister sued the city of Springdale and others in May of 2017, claiming that the release of the report was an invasion of privacy and caused extreme mental anguish and emotional distress. And as we all know, Duggar was arrested in April of this year after a federal investigation found inappropriate pictures of minors on his computer devices. His trial is scheduled to begin in November, and he has pled not guilty. Now, there's allegations that he had to register as a sex offender. I'm telling you, I don't believe that this is true. I cannot think of, and I have looked, where somebody would have to register if there was never a conviction. I don't believe that story, and I think if somebody put that out, it is misinformation. I would have to see the actual registration. I would have to see the statute that would say that someone could register. No way would somebody voluntarily do that, and there'd be no legal requirement, and no one could make you register unless you were actually convicted. So I don't believe that's true. The YouTube channel that put that information out, take it with a grain of salt. But, you know, maybe if there's some other information out there, let me know. I'll reevaluate it, but I just cannot imagine that. And sometimes that's what happens when you get your legal explanations from non-attorneys. All right. Next on the docket, another ex-husband charged with murder. That's right. Deputies have identified the people involved in an alleged double murder, but they declined to discuss both the victim's actual whereabouts and an alleged motive for the slaying. The Cochise County Sheriff's Department in Arizona previously named their jailed suspect as Gregory Carlson. He is 56 years old. The victims have been identified as Carlson's ex-wife, Dung Nguyen, 30, and her new companion, Robert Atwell. Now, citing the ongoing investigation, investigators were scheduled to interview the victim's family, and she said she could not yet provide Atwell's age or clarify his specific relationship with Ms. Nguyen. Now, apparently, an anonymous caller reached out to deputies from Cochise County saying that Nguyen and her companion were driving to pick up a child under a custody sharing agreement with Gregory Carlson, and no one had heard from them since September 2nd. Now, originally, Carlson was not named a suspect and was just identified as the father of Ms. Nguyen's child. Carlson advised that the mother was scheduled to pick up the child at 10 a.m. However, he has not heard from her and had no additional information. Authorities returned back to the Carlson's home and took him into custody for questioning. Authorities eventually obtained a search warrant to search Carlson's property, and they found enough evidence to arrest Carlson on two counts of murder in the second degree, three counts of obstruction of justice, two counts of concealment of a deceased body, and he remains in custody without bond. Deputies didn't detail the evidence, and they could not comment because the investigation is ongoing, and they would not comment as to whether they found the bodies, and there'll be more information forthcoming. Now, a judge denied Mr. Carlson's bond in the hearing just yesterday. They set the matter for a preliminary hearing setting for this Friday. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you just never know when something bad is going to happen. And if you have an ex-husband or an ex-wife, hopefully you all can be amicable. And more importantly, if you're meeting new people, you need to make sure you're not getting scammed. Please go to crimetalksearch.com. Sign up for your background subscription service today. You can cancel at any time, and you will get information regarding criminal history, sex offender registration, property records, everything you think you'd want to know about meeting somebody new. Are they telling you the truth? Remember, everyone has a secret, and they're probably not going to tell you that information on the first date. Find out now. We've had lots of people said, I signed up for this, found out that the person that they were getting involved with had charges of sexual assault on a child. It's not like that person is going to do that on their own. You need to be the responsible one. Take care of it. Check it out. Go to crimetalksearch.com. You'll be absolutely happy you did. Next on the docket, another example of why you just sometimes need to let it go. Okay? It's just not worth it. So Juan Guzar Gutierrez and Marcela Honorato were killed in a shooting near Long Beach the other day. Officers were called to the scene around 7:50 p.m. on a report about a fight in the area. Upon arrival, they found Guiz Gutierrez on the sidewalk suffering from several gunshot wounds, while Honorato was on the street with a single gunshot wound to her upper body. Now, despite the officers attempting to perform life-saving measures on the couple, Guzar Gutierrez was pronounced dead at the scene, according to the authorities. Honorato was transported to a local hospital where she also succumbed to her injuries. Now, family members said that the couple was trying to park their car when two men in another car drove up behind him and started yelling and honking. Guzar Gutierrez reportedly exchanged words with the men before one of them pulled out a gun. One of Honorato's three daughters, Maria Honorato, told the news that she was nearby and she heard gunfire. She said that her mother was still half alive when she arrived on the scene. She tried her best and telling her to hold on and that she loved her. The family obviously believes it's unfair that two lives were taken over an argument regarding a parking spot. Now, an investigation is ongoing and no arrests have been made at this time, and there's no suspect information at this time either. Now, seriously, ladies and gentlemen, sometimes you just need to let it go. I'm not saying anybody was at fault for saying, hey, this is my parking spot, but the other people getting out and shooting somebody for a parking spot, unbelievable. Those people need to go to prison for the rest of their lives. They simply cannot live in a civilized society. And just because you have an argument with somebody doesn't mean you can shoot somebody. I'm sure they will claim some sort of self-defense if they are ever apprehended, the shooters in this case. But they're going to have a tough road and they need to plan on spending a significant, if not the rest of their life, in prison. All right, next on the docket, punishment dealt out to a deserving printer toner schemer. All right, if anyone has ever had a copier in their office, they know it seems like all you ever do is pay for toner. Well, it turns out it's a big fraud, and I'm going to look into this because it seems like I bought a lot of toner over the years. So this story turns out for decades, a Los Angeles man defrauded small businesses, nonprofits, and other organizations by selling them printer toner they didn't need. Over a six-year period, Gilbert McMichaels, he's 79, conned the victims out of, guess what this amount is, $126 million. More than 50,000 businesses and other organizations signed up with McMichael's companies, which pretended to be connected with the organizations actually supplying the toner and told the organizations that by ordering in bulk, they could lock in at the lower rates before the toner prices went up. Now, McMichael's companies ended up selling the toner to the organizations at up to 10 times the normal price. Many of the organizations were actually already getting toner at no additional cost as part of their lease agreement for the office equipment. And if anyone's ever had an office copier lease, you know you're nickel and dime to death, but you just pay it because you don't know what's coming and going, and you got to really watch that stuff. Michael's companies would threaten to go to collection agencies on anyone who refused to pay and would hit anyone who tried to return the toner with expensive restocking fees. Well, guess what? Mr. Michaels was sentenced to 4 years in federal prison, followed by nearly 2.5 years of home confinement, probably because of his age. He was also ordered to pay a fine of $200,000. Now, six other co-conspirators have also been convicted alongside Michaels on conspiracy charges, mail fraud, and money laundering. He deserves it. Deserves it. I'm telling you, all you do when you have a copier in the office is buy toner. It's ridiculous. And you think, have we used all that toner yet? But apparently we have. All right, next on the docket, the dumb criminal contestants of the day. Two teens committed a series of drive-by slushy attacks that they recorded with a GoPro camera for a YouTube prank video. Police say Rafael Mercado, who's 19, and Keziah McKay, 18, targeted victims Saturday afternoon in a city park near Tampa Bay. The teens purchased some 7 slushies from the nearby 7-Eleven convenience store and threw them at bystanders while filming. McKay is listed as Mercado's co-defendant in the complaint, but he is yet to be arrested. Now, Mercado was free on a $650 bond. He apparently confessed to the entire thing, stating that he was doing it for his YouTube channel. All right, here's some free legal advice, ladies and gentlemen. You cannot assault people and not be charged, okay? You throwing a slushie at someone who is not consenting to have the slushie thrown at them is the victim of an assault, and the person throwing the slushie is going to be charged with an assault. I'm not sure what these people were thinking and why they thought it would be okay, but they're dumb criminal contestants for the mere fact that they're recording criminal conduct and they were going to put it up on YouTube. That's why these two young men, that's right, they are our dumb criminal contestants of the day. Maybe they should add something to their YouTube channel about how they are going to go through this very difficult time, the expense, inconvenience, community service, and of course the threat of jail. Now that would be some real entertainment instead of assaulting people with slushies. All right, it was a big docket today. Thanks for watching. We'll see you next time on Crime Talk.